The pilot's Bill of Rights means unanimous Senate approval. Today is the deadline for comments on the driver's license medical certificate exemption petition. The Terrafugia Transition, a rotable aircraft, has completed Phase 1 testing. This is Aero News from Monday, July 2, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. U.S. Senator Jim Inhofe, Republican of Oklahoma and a member of the Senate General Aviation Caucus, a certified flight instructor with more than 10,000 hours, is celebrating the Senate's unanimous passage of his bill, the Pilot's Bill of Rights, this past Friday. Inhofe had introduced the bill to the aviation community at Oshkosh last year and has worked tirelessly since to see its approval. The bill, if signed into law, would provide pilots with greater due process rights when faced with FAA certificate enforcement actions. The bill requires that in an FAA enforcement action, the FAA must grant the pilot all relevant evidence 30 days prior to a decision to proceed with an enforcement action. It also introduces an option for federal district court review of appeals from the FAA. The bill also requires a NOTAM improvement program requiring simplification and centralized archiving of NOTAMs, makes flight service station communications archives available to all pilots, and reviews the FAA's medical certification process and forms. At present, there is no companion bill in the House. Still, Senator Inhofe called the bill's passage a great victory, saying, quote, "This bill remedies many of the most serious deficiencies in the relationship between general aviation and the FAA and ensures that pilots are, like everyone else, treated in a fair and equitable manner by the justice system," end quote. Nearly 10,000 pilots have commented on the Combined General Aviation Industry Initiative for exemption to the third-class medical certificate, and today is the last day for you to do so. The exemption would allow pilots to take and complete an online education course about various medical conditions and then self-assess their fitness to act as pilot in command prior to flight. Then they would be able to use their driver's license instead of a medical when piloting certain aircraft under limited conditions. The idea behind the petition is to eliminate the economic burden the third-class medical places on some pilots and to get more pilots back in the air, a move that's seen as a shot in the arm to the general aviation industry. If approved, the exemption would allow pilots to fly solo or with a maximum of one passenger, in daylight VFR conditions, in single-engine aircraft with 180 horsepower or less, four seats or fewer, and fixed landing gear. This would allow pilots to continue flying aircraft with which they are already familiar, instead of transitioning to lighter aircraft under the sport pilot rule. However, today, July the 2nd, is the final day to submit comments. You can review others' comments or submit your own at www.regulations.gov by searching for Docket FAA-2012-0350. That's Docket FAA-2012-0350. The Terrafugia Transition production prototype has completed the first phase of its flight test program. Test items accomplished included power-on and power-off handling, aircraft stability, engine cooling evaluation, and propeller setting optimization in various flight conditions. Five more flight test phases are planned. The production prototype is now moving into drive testing to explore the ground drivetrain, suspension tuning, braking performance, and road handling of the rotable aircraft. Terrafugia COO Anna Dietrich said, quote, "Our top priority this summer is flight and drive testing in anticipation of certifying compliance with the Light Sport Aircraft and National Highway Traffic Safety Administration standards," end quote. Phase 1 flight testing was conducted at Plattsburgh International Airport in Plattsburgh, New York. A $42,000 public safety fee has proven to be the death knell for the 2012 PNC Air Show. Originally scheduled for June 8th and 9th, and then postponed to later in the summer, the organizers announced their final decision late last week. The 2012 PNC Air Show was to have been the 28th annual air show, the first held on the Peoria Riverfront, and the first to offer free admission. At issue was a $42,000 fee required by the cities of Peoria, East Peoria, and the Peoria Park District. The proposed fee was to cover the cost of police security and cleanup services after the show. Originally set for June 8th and 9th, the organizers considered postponing the show to raise the needed funds, but the scheduling of performers then became an additional hurdle. Together, it was simply more than Prairie Air Show, Inc., the nonprofit organizer of the show, could overcome. No rescheduled date was ever announced. Brett Krause, director of the air show, said charging admission to the show would have helped with the budget, but he added it would have been a near impossible task to cordon off a three-block area around the riverfront show site. Krause says they are hopeful of putting together a show for 2013, but it's too early to say for sure. If everything goes according to plan today, Robert Wilson Pinkston will become the youngest pilot to fly solo in a helicopter in the United States, and he owes the milestone in part to the generosity of strangers. Pinkston of Nashua, New Hampshire, will turn 16 today, and he plans to celebrate by making his first solo flight. So how does a 16-year-old afford helicopter instruction? Well, it started with some seed money from his grandmother, but to reach his goal, he set up a website and was amazed when friends, family, acquaintances, and even a bunch of supportive strangers started filling up the till. MSNBC reports that Pinkston, who will be a junior at Nashua High School North next year, said, quote, "I didn't think people cared. I certainly wanted to thank them," end quote. Pinkston has been taking instruction in a Robinson R-22. With his first solo, he will start chipping away at the required 10 solo hours, but even if he gets them in the next year, which seems pretty likely, he'll have to wait until July 2, 2013, his 17th birthday, to actually receive his private pilot's license. When Aero News continues, Americans pilots are to vote on a new contract offer. Three Chinese astronauts are back on terra firma, and it ain't rocket science.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Aero News continues now for Monday, July 2nd. I'm Glenn Moyer. The APA Board of Directors voted 9-7 Thursday to approve a tentative contract offer from American Airlines Management. In a letter to the APA membership posted on the union website, APA President Captain David Bates said that before the APA Board of Directors voted, its advisors were emphatic in recommending approval of management's final offer as a tentative agreement. In particular, the advisors focused on the significance of the provision that gives APA a claim in the form of a 13.5% equity stake in a newly reorganized American Airlines. They also stated that a 13.5% equity stake should make APA the largest equity holder in the company. As a result, the union would be able to influence key decisions from its seat on the Unsecured Creditors Committee that will take place for the balance of the restructuring, such as the makeup of the reorganized airline's board of directors and other key strategic considerations. The union noted that in the event of a merger, their equity would only increase in value. Bates said the agreement is, quote, "clearly not the industry-leading contract we all want and deserve," end quote. But he added the tentative agreement contains provisions that represent clear improvements, including enhanced pay increases. The vote is set to be counted on August the 8th. Meanwhile, flight attendants at Horizon Air, represented by the Association of Flight Attendants, CWA, turned down a tentative agreement with management. The union said in a news release that the vote makes clear that the more than 500 Horizon Air flight attendants expect more for their contributions to the airline. Horizon is a wholly owned subsidiary of Alaska Air Group and offers service to 40 destinations in the United States, Canada, and Mexico. Those three Chinese astronauts, including the first Chinese woman to fly in space, have returned safely to Earth following a 13-day mission in which they successfully docked their Shenzhou 9 capsule to a space lab prototype already in orbit. The landing was broadcast live on Chinese state television. During the mission, the crew conducted manual and automated docking procedures with the orbiting module. China, which is not a partner in the International Space Station, has said it plans to put its own space station in orbit by 2020, which is about the time that the ISS is expected to reach the end of its useful life. The docking was considered a milestone for the Chinese in proving that they could couple two spacecraft together while orbiting the Earth. This mission was only China's fourth manned spaceflight and the first in several years. China last put a human in space in 2008. Before that, it was in 2005. A missing AN-2 biplane is still missing after wreckage found by a search party proved to be that of a different AN-2. A massive search involving nearly 1,500 people, 300 vehicles, and 11 aircraft has been underway for almost 3 weeks, but to no avail. The Moscow Times reports the still-missing aircraft took off from the Urals city of Serov with 13 people on board, including the local traffic police chief. The aircraft departed June 11th on an unauthorized flight and then mysteriously disappeared. Local police say the passengers may have been drinking and were possibly headed out for a fishing trip or a banya in a nearby district. An emergency situation ministry spokesman told Interfax that aircraft have covered 219,000 square kilometers, ground crews another 951 square kilometers, and still there is no sign of the missing AN-2. Searchers, by the way, have also turned up bits of an Mi-8 helicopter in their ongoing search. NASA's Nuclear Spectroscopic Telescope Array, or NuSTAR, has snapped its first test images of the sizzling high-energy X-ray universe. The observatory, launched on June 13th, is the first space telescope with the ability to focus high-energy X-rays, the same kind used by doctors and dentists, into crisp images. Soon, the mission will begin its exploration of hidden black holes, fiery cinder balls left over from star explosions, and other sites of extreme physics in our cosmos. We hear it all the time. When confronted with a seemingly difficult task, someone always pipes up with the quip, "Well, it isn't rocket science." Well, actually, it is. Rocket Science 101 is a new game designed by NASA for PCs and iPads, and the good news is, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to play the game. Players select their favorite NASA mission and choose from 3 skill levels to build a rocket to send the spacecraft into orbit. The Rocket Science 101 Challenge provides players an opportunity to learn about NASA missions and the various components of the launch vehicles, including how rockets are configured and how they work together to successfully launch a spacecraft. The application was designed by the Kennedy Information Technology Mobile Team in conjunction with NASA's Launch Services Program. By the way, subscribing to this podcast isn't rocket science either. You can do so on iTunes or at our website, www.aero-news.net. So before your next blast off, let me say thanks for listening. I'm Glenn Moyer. You're now cleared for departure.